This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled A Father's Responsibility, was delivered on June 16th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Would you thank James and Jennifer? And to James's dad, thank you for teaching him how to cook. Yeah. So you see his dad over there. Thank him for all that he did for James, especially the discipline part, because James is a good guy. Oh, good morning. Yeah, well, I have some memories of my dad, and it's been like 3 years since I lost my dad. And some of the things that I remember him that really encouraged me was one of the things before I left and I moved over here. He told me, son, I don't have to worry about you because I know wherever you go, you will make friends. And I thought, like, wow, Dad, thank you so much. Another one was when I was a teenager, I was driving my car and I smashed into this other lady's car. I was like, oh, I'm going to get it. So instead of doing all the insurance thing, I told the lady, bring your car to my house. And I'll bodywork it, and I'll paint it, and I'll fix it. And then we did that. And then my dad found out what I had done. So I thought, oh, I'm going to get lickings, man. I'm going to get dirty, dirty lickings, because I never tell them what happened. And when he found out, you know what he told me? Just so opposite. He goes, son, I am so proud of you, because you took care of things without, you know, bothering anybody else, but you took responsibility and you took care of things. And I thought, like, wow, where did that come from? I thought automatic cracks, right? You smash somebody's car, you don't tell your parents. Right? You don't think so. But I thought, oh, guaranteed dirty lickings. But he told me, I'm so proud that you took the initiative to go and fix things. I was like, wow. Guess my dad taught me some good things. And then he taught me how to fish, which was really great. But, man, before becoming the person you see here today, and I was raising my two girls, and they were 2 and 4, and I looked at them one day, and I said, like, wow. I looked at them, I looked in the mirror, I looked at them, it's like, oh, you are a bad, bad, bad dad. You are just so bad. I hope they don't remember that half the time when they were 2 and 4, that half the time I was drunk. I would smoke in the house. How many of you smoke in your house? Nobody. Well, you guys good, yeah? Well, either you guys good or you guys lying. You guys know, like, let me find out that you smoke, right? And just like when I see you in the store with that six-pack of beer and then you hide them behind your back. Hi, Pastor. People do that, you know. They see me. They turn down another aisle. And it's like, really, come on. I just couldn't follow you home. Yeah, and I realized that, oh man, I better get my act together before they realize what's going on and I'm a bad influence on them. And granted, I did make my mistakes, and my girls will tell you of the mistakes I made. They tell me of the mistakes I made. You know, once a father, a man, accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he starts reading the Bible, and the transformation starts taking place, and the Word starts penetrating his heart. You know, he realizes that he has a great responsibility, and it's not just about coming to church, reading the Word. It's coming to church, reading the Word, applying the Word, becoming mature in Christ, and then understanding that, man, I get the responsibility because God gave me a family. Because he could easily say, you know what, Scott, you be single for the rest of your life and no children. And, you know, he allowed me to have a wife, a beautiful girl. And now, as a steward of God's things, I get to pray for them. I get to encourage them. Yes, I get to discipline them when they need it. I get to provide for them. And when I came to Christ, when I really said, you know what, I need to make this change. You know, I was listening to Pastor Aaron's dad speak, and he really, what the words he said really just shook up my world, and it made so much sense. So I told my wife, if we're going to go to church, I got to go see that guy because I can relate to him. And, you know, I started off kind of slow. I was like one of those who would sit way, you know, like the guys way in the back. You gotta wave your hand, the guy's in the back. You know, I used to sit in the back. And up in New Hope Hilo, it's so easy to hide back there because it's so big. I could hide in the back and escape before anybody could flag me down. And I see you guys right after we finish service. Boom, you hit the parking lot and you're gone. And I mean, just one day, I'm going to ask the usher to lock the gates. Or either lock the gates or flat your tires. What you guys choose. Or you could avoid all of that and just stick around so we can talk story. So I can tag you for serve food or do parking lot. You know, so I used to hide in the back. And after the word, hearing the word, penetrating my heart, week after week, oh, next thing you know, we started going to church on Wednesdays. It's like, wow. Then I started to go to church on Tuesdays to class, and Thursdays, some other class. And as the word started to penetrate me, wow, I got more and more closer. I got closer and closer to God, and I realized, like, wow, as the head of the household, God wanted me to do so much more than just be a church attender, but also he wanted me to be the spiritual head of the house, meaning I got to be the one praying for my children, for my wife, and I got to be doing all those things in order to be the father that God created me to be and the leader that he created me. And I needed help because I was so young and so new, yeah, that I had to get a book. It was called The Power of a Praying Parent. How many of you ever heard of that book? Man, it's such a good book. And I'm not a reader, okay? I was never much of a reader. So what I would do, at the end of each chapter, there's a prayer. I would kind of like not want to read the chapter, so I just go to the prayer, and there was blanks where you put your child's name inside. So I would pray the prayer and put in my child's name, go to the next chapter, pray the prayer, put in my child's name. But I think it worked because they're still in church. Amen. But by the way, before I forget, Shaq, fathers, would you stand up? We have a gift for you. Fathers, stand up. All the fathers. And even if you are a single mother who raised your kids, stand up because you're mother and father, right? Right? So, yeah, no shame, ladies. If you are a single parent and you raise your children, you're both parents, so stand up because you deserve just as much as the fathers. But we have a gift for you. And I know you because you're fathers, you're going to share it with your children. So, and if you're a father and you're in church, thank you, because that is the best thing you can do right now, being in church. Thank you. Okay, so once you get your gift, you can sit down. But if you never get your gift, no, sit down, because you might not get one. Yes, we have some courageous ladies in here who are raising their children. Man, and you guys are awesome, and I applaud you. If you need any help, let us know. But I'm not going to crack your kids for you. So here's one of the things I learned. When I became closer to God, when I knew that my responsibilities was greater than just come to church, go home, and live out the week. But I learned that here's your first one on your outline. We need to pray for our children. You really got to pray for your children. I think praying for our children, that is like not last resort, but that I think that's the best thing we can do. I remember when Kayla was away at UNLV, and if you ever had a child in college, You know what it's like, or if you have a child away, that you know what it's like when they call you up and they're sick. And she's like, I could picture her curled up in bed, having the chills, and telling me that she wasn't feeling good. And inside I was just dying, because you cannot hold her. You cannot cook saimin for her and bring it to her. And you're just dying, and you think like, oh, I can't do nothing. But in reality, you can pray, and that's like the best thing you can do. So we prayed, and just so happened, one of our friends was in Las Vegas, and she took water to her and took care of her, and it's like, wow, God, you are so good. So we get to pray for our children. In Job chapter 1, and it's Job, okay, not Job. You understand that, Job. I don't know where, if you think it was Job, you should have had an E on the end, but I am not an English teacher. Okay, Job 1:4. His sons used to go and hold their feast in the house of each one on his day. I would think maybe on his birthday, on their birthday, they would go and have one party. And they would send and invite three sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, set them apart, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did continually. See, Job, he was concerned for his children's spiritual welfare, and fearful that they might have unknowingly sinned, he went and he offered sacrifices for them. You know, we don't do that today, because if we did, if you brought sacrifices for your children, could you imagine me putting my head on the sheep or the goat or the cow, and then whoosh, imagine all the blood, the smell. Of course, we would have a feast afterwards, right? But we don't do this. But back then, they did this. So we don't sacrifice for our children like they did back then. We're sacrificing animals. But today, we can have that same concern. How many of you have children that you are concerned about that, man, we need to pray for? A lot of us. Yeah. And just because my children are adults, that doesn't mean I stop praying. I think sometimes when they're out of the house, we got to pray harder for them. Yeah? So we can show that same concern Job had by praying for them. That means we do sacrifice. We sacrifice some time during the day, during the morning maybe, or the evening, that we would ask God, that God would lead them, God would forgive them, God would help them to grow, God would protect them, and God would surround them with great, encouraging friends. How many of you pray for your children every day? All right. Great. You guys can go home already. You know, even when they grow up, we still pray for them. Even when they get married, you still pray for them. Even when they get their own family, then you can go, aha, you see? Now you know what I went through, huh? No, we still pray for them, amen? Even when they have their own careers and they're successful, you still pray for them. Prayer is probably the best thing we can do for our children, amen? And the farther away they are from God, the harder we pray, amen? Number two, don't stress them out. Yeah? Children say amen. Gosh, you remember when their children, if your children are grown up now, remember when they was young? Wash the dishes, empty the rubbish, clean your bedroom. Wash the dishes, empty the rubbish, clean your bedroom. What's the matter with you? How come you get bad grades? And I was there, I did that. Ask my children. They were tired of hearing, like, no, 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 I am not listening to you anymore. And the more we did that, you just exasperate him. He's like, oh, stop it already. You're irritating me. Then listen, right? But so sometimes I just had to just breathe and just let it go, because you know what? I'd rather have a messy child's bedroom than a damaged relationship. What do you think? Would you rather have a damaged relationship with a clean bedroom? No, I remember putting stuffs in rubbish bags, and I used to love to grab their toys, put it in a trash bag, and take it to the church nursery for the other kids to have. That's probably one of the memories they have of me being mean. Yeah. Colossians 3:21, fathers. Why does it say fathers and not mothers? Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Remember one time I was in Kau, I was watching a soccer game. I was watching my daughter play soccer. And in Kau, you can sit like 10 feet from the field under the trees in the shade. And I was sitting, and then there was this dad next to me, and his daughter was playing. So happy the daughter was playing right in front of him. And he was there, move up, move up, move back, move back, move up, move back, move up, move back. And the daughter was, and he kept ragging her the whole game, and I felt so sorry for her. I think she just wanted to walk off the field, and I said, that's it, I cannot handle. And that's what, he was just exasperating her, like, move up, move up, move back, move up, move in, move out. And he was doing that the whole game. It was irritating me. I wanted to tell him, hey, you know what, knock it off. Watch the game. Seriously, and sometimes we do that to our children. We nag them so much that they just want to quit. Children must be handled with love and care. They should have a label, fragile, handle with care. But you always hate that word but, yeah, because you don't get something else coming up. They need firm discipline, administered in love, not in anger. Fathers and mothers, they should not aggravate their children by nagging them, ridiculing, destroying their self-respect so that they want to quit. You know, after a while, I just, you know, stopped nagging my children, because you know what? I realized that maybe that's one of the lessons they learned from me, or they caught from me, is messiness. Because if you came to my house, it is kind of messy. My wife was like, before somebody comes, she's like scrambling, trying to clean up the house. I said, honey, let it go. Just let it go. I want them to see me for who I am. I'm a mess. You know, because I go, like, when I go to Pastor Aaron's dad's house, spotless, beautiful, clean. When I go to Pastor Steve's house, oh, another one, clean. I go to Pastor Pauline's house, clean. Go to my house, like, oh, what happened? But, hey, we both work, okay? And my wife can, I cannot expect my wife to clean up after me. So at my house, there's sawdust and pieces of wood and car parts. And yeah, but I am me. So I figured that they caught that from me. I didn't teach them that, but they just caught it. You heard that saying, praise in public, discipline in private. You heard that before? Tell them good job in front of everybody. And when you got to scold them, take them in the room and then scold them. You see those people giving their kids cracks in the mall. Oh, like I cringe, man. They say yelling at their kids and, ooh. Children need our love. They need our discipline, and we cannot exasperate them. Number three, we need to properly discipline them. Proverbs 13:24. He who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. You ever heard that saying, when your parents gave you cracks, it hurts me then more than it hurts you? You ever heard that? And if you're a parent and you had to give your kids cracks, man, it hurts inside. I mean, you're crying inside because you gotta give them cracks. And it does hurt the parent more than it hurts the child. Even if you got my tool of choice for me when I was getting disciplined was the yardstick and or the wooden hanger or the belt. Yeah? I don't know whether you guys, anybody got the whip with the bones on the end or a backhand or what, but mine was the wooden hanger, the belt mainly from my dad. My mom was the wooden hanger and the yardstick, which like, wow. And, you know, they disciplined me when I needed them. And it's not easy, but parents, it's necessary. The greatest responsibility God gives parents is nurture and guidance of their children. And lack of discipline, the lack of discipline puts like their parents' love in question. Maybe it shows lack of concern. Some of you may think that I can talk to them and they will listen. And if that's the case, that is great. That is great. How many of you have children you can say, do that, and they will do it without giving you lip? How many of you get that kind of children? You're one, two. I see one child raising his hand. Okay. That's great. That if you have children who will listen and you don't have to give them cracks, that is awesome. Disciplining children averts long-range disaster because without correction, they grow up with no clear understanding of what is right and what is wrong, with little direction for their lives. So parents, don't be afraid to discipline your children because it's an act of love. Remember, but your actions, your efforts cannot make your children wise, but they can only encourage your children to seek God's wisdom above all else. How many of you heard of that affluent teen? Well, just a few. I heard this story a couple years ago. It was like, it really, really got under my skin so bad. There was this Texas teen. He was sentenced to 10 years probation and forced to enter alcohol rehab for killing 4 people and injuring 2 others when he crashed his car into them while he was drunk. Ethan was 16. He had a blood alcohol content of 0.24 when he crashed into 4 people who had pulled over to help a stranded driver. Ethan's blood alcohol content was 3 times the legal limit of an adult over the age of 21. And the prosecutors said that Ethan and his friends had stolen some beer from a store located near the site of the accident in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. All 4 pedestrians that was helping fix this car were killed. The driver of the stranded vehicle, a mother and a daughter, stopped to help, and a youth minister who did the same. Ethan's 2 15-year-old friends were ejected from the vehicle in the crash. Solomon suffered numerous broken bones and internal injury, while Sergio can now only communicate with his eyes because he's paralyzed from the accident. Ethan admitted to drunk driving at the time with 7 passengers in his vehicle, and tests later revealed that he had Valium in his system. So now the judge handed down this sentence of just 10 years probation and mandated that the 16-year-old receive therapy at a long-term inpatient facility in California. And okay, so this is what it is. They blamed Ethan's action on his upbringing. The psychologist testified that Ethan's parents used him as a weapon against each other's and that the teen's emotional age was actually like a 12-year-old. Okay, this teen never learned to say sorry if you hurt someone. Psychologist said that if you hurt someone, he learned, you give them money. The psychologist said that Ethan's parents gave him freedoms no young person should have, and raised in an environment of privilege that afforded him no understanding of actions for their consequences. Man, when I thought about this story and I read it, there was no discipline in this boy's life. So he didn't really know right from wrong. When I first heard this story, when I heard the verdict of 10 month probation, I was so mad at the judge. I mean, who wouldn't be, right? My blood was boiling. Then I sat and I thought, and I'm thinking, like, maybe it's not the judge. Maybe I should be mad at his parents. You think he took 4 lives. You think of the victims' families. And I was thinking, I was so mad because this young man had no discipline in his life. He had no correction. He didn't, the judge said he didn't know right from wrong. How can you not know right from wrong? I guess if you brought up in that environment, that'll say it all. And you can still follow the story because later on, during his probation, his mother took him and they fled. They escaped to Mexico. And again, they caught him drinking when he's not supposed to be. And I don't know what happened after that, but I think they caught him and they brought him back. And I don't know what he's facing now, but it's an ongoing story. And it's sad that his parents never took the time to discipline him so he could learn right from wrong. And it's like, it's so tragic that 4 people lost their lives because there was no discipline in this guy's life. The 4th one, we need to lead by example. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Children will imitate their parents. Why do you think my 2 girls love to shop? Think they got that from me? If they got that from me, they would be in HPM or Home Depot. Really. But they're in Macy's, Ross, and all this. So who do you think they got that from? Did I teach them that? No, they got that. You know, like, okay, when I ride with Kayla in her car, and I hear her cussing the other drivers out, like, oh my gosh, sounds like I'm riding with myself. What did I do? And I didn't teach her that. Did I teach her that? Did I say, Kayla, when you drive, yell at the guys in front of you who you're driving slow. Or yell at the guys who cut in front of you without signaling. Did I teach her? No. She caught that from my example. Oh, boy. Man, I hope they caught good things from me. Matthew 23. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they do. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Fathers and mothers, what example are you setting for your children? Do you pray? When you sit down at the table, do you ask them to pray, say grace, or do you encourage them? Do you live godly before them? Do you get high in front of them? Do you cuss and scream? Do you, husbands and wives, do you fight in front of your children? What lessons do you want them to catch from you? Sometimes I really hope that my children caught more good things than bad. My girls told me somewhere along the line, somewhere from when they were little kids to now, somewhere along the line, they tell me, Dad, you came soft. And maybe I did, but I think maybe that's more of God's grace coming through me. And they probably wish, oh, I wish you was like that when we were younger. You know, it's Father's Day, And if you're a father and you are here, that's terrific. There's no better place you can be. And you're leading your family by example. Fathers, men, be the example God created you to be. And so that you can actually say, follow me as I follow Christ. Be that leader that God created you to be. Lead your family into those green pastures. Be the example that they would be proud to follow. One that honors God. Amen? You may put your notes away. I'm going to ask you to, the worship team to come up. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. You know, if you're here, somebody may have invited you to come for Father's Day. If you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, now is a great time. And it's a gift from the Father above, the perfect Heavenly Father. He gave us this gift of eternal life, and all we needed to do is accept it. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, hold up a hand. We're good. God bless you over there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands, and we say, thank you, Jesus. For they said yes to you, the good, good Father. They said yes to your free gift of eternal life. Lord, I pray for them that they would walk with you, that they would understand your words, that they would follow you. Lord, help us. Help us to lead them in that way with their relationship with you. We thank you so much for you, and we thank you for all the fathers here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a yes booklet at that table. I want you to grab one. Hey, Father's Day, we made some burgers for everybody, but the father's one, we have an 8-ounce burger for you. For the rest of you, but we had to knock off 2 ounces, so you only get 6. So, hey. But the looks like the youth are going to be serving, so thank them. Next week is very important. Okay, we're going to start a 2-week series on reading and understanding the Bible, and God really put it on my heart that we can read, and if we read and don't understand, there's no sense in reading at all. But I want us to read so that we can understand, so that we can apply. Amen. So if you have your Bibles with you, bring them. And we are going to have Bibles for sale. It's a study Bible that you can really understand. So that's next week. And if you have friends who need to understand the Bible, please invite them here to hear about how we can read and understand the Bible. Amen. You ready? Ready. So would you all stand? And I want you to sing to your Heavenly Father as if He is lowering an ear to listen to our voices. Amen? Okay, take it away.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.